While you're standing, take your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. That's one of those little books in the Old Testament. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms. Go to the book of Psalms and turn back a few pages. Nehemiah chapter 8. We'll read verses 10 through 12 together. I'll tell you what, I'll read verse 10. You join me on verse 11 and 12 in unison. We'll just read them that way. And I want to help you today. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 10 through 12. Did you know that Nehemiah was the shortest guy in the Bible? Nehemiah? All right. Don't pay much, don't get much, all right? That went over like a lid balloon. All right, Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 10 through 12. I'll read verse 10, you join me on verse 11 and 12. Ready? Then he said unto them, "Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, "Hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved." Verse 12, ready? And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And let's pray. Father, I sure do need you this morning. Holy Spirit of God, would you anoint me today? Guide my lips, guide my mind. May I have your attention, and may I have the attention of your people. Lord, I'm just a microphone, a voice to declare your word. I'm no better a person than any human in this room. I'm just as much a sinner. But Lord, we need help from you today. So God, I pray that you'd meet each and every need today in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here in Nehemiah chapter 8, the Jews were discouraged because they saw themselves in a spiritual light in a way that they had not seen themselves before. And I'm not going to go into a long detail. They were having one of the Old Testament Hebrew feasts called the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was a quote-unquote holy time. It was a time where they set themselves apart to do something spiritual. But here's the problem. When you start doing something spiritual, you start feeling very unspiritual. Can I tell you something? The closer to God you get, the more you see yourself as you really are, a sinner. These people that get up and say, "Oh, I'm close to God and I saw Jesus," and they lift themselves up, have not seen God. Because anywhere in Scripture somebody got a glimpse of God or the presence of God, it was always, "Woe is me, not look at me." People that exalt themselves thinking they're spiritual are not spiritual. If you have to tell everybody you're spiritual, you're not. The Jews were discouraged. By the way, when somebody gets saved and they start growing and everything's new and exciting and fresh, and all of a sudden you hit the wall. And it's like, what good's this? I can't do that. I couldn't make that. And you start seeing yourself in the real light. That's why I say, keep on going. Just keep on going. We feel pretty good when we look at other people. Yeah, if I compared myself to Brother Scott, I'd do pretty good. All right? It doesn't take much. If I compared myself to Brother Mike, you know, I wouldn't feel maybe quite as good, but don't feel too awful bad. But that's like one pig in the mud saying I'm not as dirty as the other pig in the mud. We're both in the mud.
That's right.
You know, it's pretty bad when we start comparing ourselves with each other. It's easy to say I'm spiritual compared to somebody else. It's not easy to say I'm spiritual when you compare yourself to God or that book right there. By the way, that's why it's the book and not us. You see, the Jews were discouraged to the point of even literally being stressed out. If you look here, the Bible says that the Levites had to still the people and said, hold your peace, neither be ye grieved. The word grieved there has the, it literally means stressed out, overwhelmed. And it is dealing with stress. And God says, quit worrying about being stressed out. And then he makes the statement that I want to talk about today. And then he says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Stress is the body's way of responding to any kind of demand, threat, or burden. When you sense fear, sense danger, sense adversity, sense anxiety, whether it's real or imagined, the body kicks into gear and puts this wall up and gives you a burst of energy. That is called stress. Stress is the body's way of protecting you. But stress was only intended to be for a short time. It's not intended to be something that you live with. It's just to get you through the initial phase of something. Stress is that feeling you get when somebody's hiding in the dark and they scare you and you go, wah! All right, that's called stress. Now you stress somebody else by how you respond to them afterwards. That's what somebody else gets. I got to tell the story. We were in the other building and my secretary was taking Wyatt to the washroom. There were some big projects going on in the foyer there. And I thought, I'm going to scare that boy. So I got down on my knees just outside the door of the hallway there. And I told Kirsten, I said, watch this. I'm going to scare your brother. She's over there going, hee, 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 hee. I didn't realize why she was going, hee, 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 hee. I forgot Mom was going to be with him. She didn't. Sure enough, I heard footsteps. He got to the edge of that door, and I went, like this. There were two screams. I was only ready for one. And I went, oh, no. Then there was a third one laughing hysterically on the floor on the other side of the room. There was an initial shock of stress. Then I started stressing. Uh-oh, I didn't do that real well. Stress is like learning to box. Now, I don't do it anymore. Say why? At 51, you don't do that. You learned by a 51 not to keep doing that, amen? But I used to work out 3 days a week with one of the other assistant pastors when I was in Indiana. And we would work out weights and different things. And I was in pretty decent shape. And the last part of our workout was 3 rounds boxing. Now, we didn't do any headshots. And we wore like a flak jacket and belt around here to keep from getting full. But we would use 16-ounce gloves. And I learned how to box. I had never boxed before. Can I tell you something? I learned something about boxing, Brother Mike. Did you know the first time you walk into a ring, and you got your arms up like this, your natural tendency is to tighten up because somebody's going to hit you. And you got your arms locked. Did you know you can only do that for about a minute and a half? At full tension. And then all of a sudden, your arms start feeling like lead weights. And start burning. And start hurting. Not only that, they're so burned out, you can't even throw a punch. You're like, three-minute rounds of that's enough to kill a man. And I was like, how in the world am I going to build up tolerance? So the guy I was working out with, he had been boxing for about 30 years. I said, what am I doing wrong? He said, you're too tense. He said, you're stressing your arms out. He said, keep them loose, and the only time you tighten them is when you're getting hit. And he said, you'll learn how to take it. Just lean them up against your body and don't even tighten them when you get hit. Only flex them when you're throwing a punch. Right. And you just, that's why their arms are loose. You get them real tight and locked in like that. You can't hold your arms like this for very long. Fully tightened. But that's what your natural tendency is. What happens? They stress out. They become like a wet dish rag. You can't do anything. And that's what happens in your life when you live with stress in your life. you're all tightened up, you're all bunched up, and before too long, eventually, something's got to give out. And usually it's the body or the mind. Some of you, don't worry about it. You don't have one to give out. Now, listen to this statement. God never commands you to do something that you cannot do. God has never given an obey a command that you cannot obey. God said, love your enemies. Did you know because God said you could do it, you can do it? He didn't say you're going to like it. He didn't say you were going to enjoy it. When I was a kid, I ate things I didn't like. When Dad said, eat that, I'd say, I can't. I found out, you can. Unless it's cooked peas. And you hide them under the cushion of the kitchen chair and your mom finds them 3 days later. I didn't eat those cooked peas, but we had a powwow. He powed and I wowed. We had a meeting at the Board of Education. It was applied to the seat of knowledge. Let me tell you. I still hate cooked peas. I'll eat them raw, but don't cook them nasty things. I did eat them while I was home under his leadership. Did you know you can swallow them like pills? Same things with lima beans. I hate them nasty things. But I can swallow them whole. I can get anything down the hatch. There's very little I couldn't get down the pie hole. I didn't always enjoy it. And since he ain't my boss no more, I don't have to eat them. Glory to God. Now God, that's good preaching, isn't it? All right. I have to honor him, but I don't have to obey him. God never commands you to do something that you cannot do. 27 times in the Bible, God tells us, be strong. Scores of times, God says, fear not. Now, listen to me very closely. This means that you can have the physical, emotional, and mental strength that you need to do anything God has commanded you to do. It also means that you can live without stress. Fear equals stress. So God says you can be strong and you can be without stress. Listen to this very carefully. I live and have been living a very busy life for a long time. I stay pretty busy. I carry a pretty heavy load. I have studied busy and successful men my whole life. I mean that. And don't get mad at me when I say this. Most doctors will tell you that tiredness is more mental than it is physical. It really is. Most people that live in tiredness, it's an issue of the mind, not the body. That's why people that are depressed sleep a lot. One of the first signs of depression is you quit working and start sleeping. And it's a mental thing. It's not a physical thing. Now listen to me very carefully here. Everybody doing okay? Tiredness is much more an issue of the mind and the will than it is a physical thing. That's not true in every case. And I do understand that. There are physical ailments that cause people that need to use a little bit more sleep than others. But it's not just because you want to. You take somebody like President Trump. Man sleeps 4 to 5 hours a day and has for 45, 50 years. He has not changed his schedule to become president of the United States. He was living that schedule all along. I average about 5 hours or so of sleep a day. Five and a half at most, usually. And I've been doing that for a long time. Since time I left for Bible college, it took 18 to 21 hours of class. I worked a full-time job. I was a Bible club leader. I was a Sunday school teacher. I worked a bus route and was an assistant director to over 100 college students at the same time. I graduated with almost, by the end of my senior year of 4 years of college, graduated with almost enough credits to have first year of master's done. and I'm not real smart. I just learned how to work. But may I say this? The secret to not being tired is to not live under stress. Stress will cause you to be more tired. I carry a pretty heavy load, and I deal with a lot of heavy issues. But my wife will tell you, I don't live with a lot of stress. I really don't. We're building a $620,000 building project here. No problem. I'm building a house. I sold my other house. We're renting and living. All my stuff stuck in a pod somewhere in Hedgesville. God only knows where. Say, preacher, are you stressed out? Do I look like it? No, I'm having the time of my life. I enjoy. Preachers are weird people. No comments. We're the only people that work harder at getting more problems. The more people you get, the more problems you deal with. But I enjoy doing what I do. And honestly, I have very little stress in my life. I live pretty stress-free. It's not that I don't have stress. I don't keep stress. It's not that stress does not come to me, but I don't hold on to my stress. I get rid of that stress. You see, the key to staying strong is eliminating stress in your life. The key to eliminating stress is real simple. Forget yourself. You want to get rid of stress? Forget about who you are and getting what you want in life. It's that simple. When you forget about yourself, you pretty well minimize stress. I want you to notice in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10, the Bible says this. And this is where we're coming to land here for a moment. The Bible says at the very end of the verse, for the joy of the Lord is whose strength? My strength. Huh. I want you to notice something, though. It does not say that you get joy by being with God. It says the joy of the Lord is my strength. It does not say that if you have the joy of the Lord, you have strength. Now listen to me. It says the joy of the Lord. In other words, it does say when we bring joy to God, we get strength. When we can give God joy, God gives us strength. Anybody that's ever been a parent, you know what I'm about to explain to you is true. You came home from work dead dog tired, and then you had to go to a kid's ball game, or you had to go to a thing at school, and your kid was going to perform at school. You really didn't feel like doing it. But you got there, and all of a sudden your kid's out there playing, and he's in a play, or he's making a good play, or he's at bat. What happened? You forgot you were tired. Yeah, come on, hit that thing. Go, 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 go. Yeah. 30 minutes ago, they were scraping off the ground. But it energized you because you watched someone that you love doing something they enjoyed, and it brought strength to your body, strength to your mind. It didn't change the fact you were still tired. But you didn't feel tired. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That's exactly what it means. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If I can make God happy, I eliminate stress. And in the making of God happy or joyful, I then gain strength from it. Does that make sense to everybody? Man, can I tell you something? You're looking at somebody ain't worth looking at, but I'll promise you one thing. I live a pretty joyful life. I live a pretty stress-free life. Not that it doesn't come to me, but I don't hold on to it. I hear people say, well, preacher, I didn't want to bother you with my problem. Bother me with your problem. It's okay. Say why? Because that's how I get joy, and that's how I get strength. And I'll show you that here in just a moment. So, in other words, if we ever learn to love God and make Him enjoy, we therefore can have strength. Do you know that there are six ways God tells us we can give Him joy? God says there are six things that we can do to bring joy to Him. And when we do those six things, or any of those six things, we give God joy. God then turns around and gives us what?
Strength.
Wow. When we give God joy, it also takes away our stress. Because to be strong, you have to get rid of stress. So in getting strong, we eliminate the stress. Now watch this. The first thing that we do, you knew it was coming if you've been here very long, turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, the Bible says, in Luke chapter 15, we're going to read two verses together here. As soon as I get there, folks, I'm breaking in a new preaching Bible, so it's just a little, it's the same old book, just a new copy of it, amen? We only use one around here, the King James.
Amen.
Luke chapter 15, verse number 7, I say unto you that it likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons which need not repentance. Look at verse number 10. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Guess what brings God joy? Seeing people get saved. Seeing people get saved. Soul winning, seeing people get saved at church, out knocking on doors, and spreading the gospel and watching people get saved. I'll promise you one thing. If you ever have won somebody to Christ, you're ready to charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I've gone out soul winning before. I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to go. I was tired. I was wore out. I really didn't feel like it. I'd been cussed out. I'd been called things I didn't want to be called. And I really didn't feel like being there. And then all of a sudden, you knock on the door and somebody comes to the door and you say, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? No. And you begin to open the Bible and show them how that they can know for sure they're going to heaven. And all of a sudden, something kicks in. And I don't feel tired anymore. And I get through the gospel and I watch that person bow their head and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Talk to them for a little longer. I walk away and I could charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun. I'm ready to go find me another one. Say, why? Man, it gave me strength. It gives strength. A soul-winning church has a strength or an energy about it. Somebody recently visited our church from out of the area. And they called me this week and they said, man, your church just is vibrating. It is just so full of energy, so full of, it's just, there's nothing like it out there. And I said, it's a soul-winning church, that's why. I said, there's an energy about soul-winning. It makes God happy, and when we see people get saved here in our church, and we have people saved, we started the church 6 years ago, the end of September. Do you know that there hasn't been a seven-day period go by in over 6 years that somebody has not got saved in one shape, form, fashion, or another because of this church? You say, why? Because we believe in telling people about Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. A soul-winning church has strength, and it gives people energy. When you come to church, the stress kind of relieves. Can I tell you why? Because people are getting saved, lives are being changed, and you forget about that problem. Soul-winning gives you the strength even when you're tired and it's your only day off. Well, I'm so tired, I don't think I could go soul-winning. I'm just too tired to go. Man, I'm too tired not to go. Okay, you can't go on Saturday. Go at another time. Let me know. We'll go out. We'll get you paired up with somebody and go when you can go. But I promise you one thing. You open your Bible and watch somebody who's on their way to hell get saved and turn around and be on their way to heaven. That'll give you energy.
That's good.
I'll promise you. I'll be honest with you. I didn't feel like going out yesterday. I was tired. But I got to open my Bible and show somebody how to get saved, and they got saved. Brother Barnes will tell you, we walked away from the house. I got in my truck and went, phew! Didn't I? I didn't feel like going, whoo, when we walked up there. Usually it's duck or pucker. Y'all know what I mean? You know, I'm from Grace Baptist Church. Get out of here! Okay, that's duck. Or, oh, great, come on in. That's pucker. Here we go. There's no in-between. So the Bible says that getting people saved, seeing people get saved, gives God joy. Matter of fact, the Bible says snatching them out of the fires of hell makes God happy. Can I tell you something? Every time I see one of these kids come up from junior church who have trusted Jesus as their Savior, I'm about to have a spell. Yes, sir. I was out soul winning a couple years ago, and I was at the door, and it was one of those days, you know, and I'm sorry, visitors, if this is unspiritual, but when I'm knocking on doors, my first thought is, I hope they're not home. I know I should be more spiritual than that, and I have knocked on well over a million doors. But when you've knocked on that many, you've had dogs sicked on you, I've had guns pointed to my face, I've been cussed out, I've had police called on me, you name it, I've seen it all. And your first reaction is, I hope they're not home. And then you hear the footsteps. And you go, this lady came to the door. I was soul winning. I don't even remember who I was with. And I was kind of leaning on the railing outside the door there. And the door opened this way. And I handed her a gospel tract, told her who I was from Grace Baptist Church. We talked for a moment. And I said, ma'am, are you 100% sure you go to heaven when you die? She said, no. Well, I went from leaning to standing. And I took my Bible and I started showing her how that we're all sinners. Because we're all sinners, there's a penalty on sin, which is death and hell. And in the process, my feet started doing this. And the lady looked at me. I said, ma'am, I said, I know what's coming. I said, I don't have to use the washroom, but I know what's coming. Bad news is over. Good news is coming. I said, bear with me for a second. I began to tell her how Jesus came and paid her sin debt for her, and she didn't have to go to church. She didn't have to live a good life. She didn't have to get baptized, capsized, or anything else in church. So all she had to do is trust Jesus Christ as her Savior. She bowed her head and trusted Christ. I said, told you, that's why I was excited. Amen. She looked at me. I said, I know. I said, but I knew what was coming. Can I tell you something? That gets me energized. Gets God energized. God wants every Christian to witness for him. I didn't say God's mandating you have somebody saved. It is our job to get the gospel out. It's not your job to make sure they get saved. That's between them and God. You are to get the gospel to every creature. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He didn't say have every person saved. Not everybody's going to do it. And they may not do it the time you talk to them, but the next time somebody else comes in, they'll do it. Good night, I knocked on the door a couple times, talked to this person, they wouldn't get saved. My wife went there a few weeks later and won the person to the Lord. I thought, oh, quit doing that. Say, why'd they listen to her? Because everybody listens to her. Can I tell you something? Going soul winning will make you stronger. I got to hurry. Number two, serving God gives God joy and will give you strength. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. It's right after Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to read three verses real quick. You can catch up to me. Isaiah chapter 40. Look at verse number. It'll help if I'm in the right chapter. There we go. Whew. Isaiah chapter 4. I was in chapter 41. That didn't help me. Isaiah 40 verse 28. Bible says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Watch this. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. That's you, Shane. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want you to notice something. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That word wait doesn't mean sit on your blessed assurance. Okay, God, what are you going to do? That word waits like going to the restaurant, like you'll do here in a little while. And the little waiter or waitress will come up and say, may I help you? May I get your drinks? May I take your order and bring your food to your table? They are serving you. The word wait is the word serve. And God says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Can I tell you how to get energized? Start serving the Lord.
Amen.
I did not get out of bed at 4:25 this morning saying, bless God, I'm ready to go. I resurrected. I was waiting to hear Lazarus come forth. But I got up. Got to the shower. If I can get to the shower, I can make the day. Amen. I was tired. There's not been many days this week I haven't gotten up past or before after 4:30. Not many. And I'm not sure there was a day this week I didn't get up before 5 o'clock. And it's that way almost every week. Tuesday night, got to bed about 11, 11:30. Phone rang at 12:30. Phone rang at 2:30. And I was up at 4. But I wasn't that tired because I got to serve the Lord with all those. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, I can be dead tired and it's time to preach and look out. Folks, a couple years ago I had walking pneumonia. I preached the entire month of December with walking pneumonia. Those of you that were here remember. Brother, thank God we had Brother Stoltz back then because he was leading the songs. It was so bad I couldn't even talk and he had to do the announcements. And I'd get up to preach. We'd read the verses. I'd pray. While I was praying, my voice would come back. I'd preach, give the invitation. By the time I said amen, voice was gone. I'd go home and die for a couple hours, come back to church Sunday night, and do it all over again. But God gave me the strength I needed because I was serving him. And as you serve God, God gives you the strength you need. Stress is caused by thinking about yourself too much. When you begin thinking about someone else, the stress is relieved. Now, when you wait on somebody, you serve them, you don't serve yourself. Can I tell you something? When you're stressed out, ladies, go bake some cookies. Go bake some bread. Go bake a pie and take it to somebody. And give it to somebody else. Just bring it to me. I'll take it. No. Please don't. I'm trying to lose a few pounds here. But seriously, go find somebody in need. Brother Mike and Kirsten know this is true. This happened this morning in the parking lot. They were getting ready to leave on the bus, and there was a man in the parking lot walking. A lady jumped out of her car, and I'd already walked away. Brother Mike hollered, hey, preacher! I came walking back over the bus. I'm thinking, oh boy, I got a guy on drugs or some drunk beating his wife. God only knows what I'm walking into, you know. And I said, ma'am, can I help you? She said, yes. She said, he's been bad. I'm thinking, okay. Fit in around here real well. She said, no, he's special needs. And he's supposed to be at home, and he's been out walking the streets for the last couple hours. I just found him. And he was afraid of me at first. I'm such a hulk of a guy. And I said, ma'am, what's his name? She said, Bruce. I said, Bruce, come on over here. I'm the preacher. You're the preacher? I said, yeah. And he come dopping over to me. I said, Mary said, you haven't been real good. No, I don't want to go home. I don't want to go home. I said, why? He said, and she had told me he had lost his parents in the last year. He said, Mom, I lost my mom and dad. I said, I know, but you need to go home. You got to go to church today. They're going to pick you up for church. And I said, you need to get in the car. He said, well, will you pray for me? I said, I will. He said, okay. Bows his head. I said, not yet. I said, she's going to open that door and you're going to sit down in the car and then I'm going to pray for you. He said, okay. She unlocked the door. I got him in the car, sat him down. She got in the car and sat down, put my hand on his shoulder, and I prayed for him. Closed the door, and off they went. Last words of her, she said, thank you, Pastor. You did what nobody else could do. He was calm, ready to go. Can I tell you something? That energized me. From the mic, I walked back in the office. I hadn't gotten up the steps, and I said, Lord, about 4:30 this morning, I asked you to help me to cross the path of somebody you would help if you were here, and I think you just got to do it. Thank you. Let me ask you a question. When you get your eyes off yourself, don't you feel a little better? Did you ever convince yourself you didn't feel good? Marcia, you're just way too verbal on that one. I am not going there. Oh, the thoughts that should not be said at this moment. You know, people who sit there and do nothing usually end up getting sicker. The people who don't do anything are the ones who are always tired and stressed out. And the more stressed out, the more depressed you get, the more tired you get, and the less you do. And it's a vicious cycle. The best thing to do is get up and go do something, not for yourself, but for somebody else. Please allow me to be a bit rough here, but get your eyes off your stinking self and go help somebody else.
Amen.
Well, I don't know what I could do. Go down to the store and open the door and greet everybody and help them have a good day. Just make somebody smile. Sometimes just getting somebody to smile is an improvement.
That's right.
You see, people who want to be served are the ones who get tired and stressed out. The people who serve are the ones that are enjoying life. I have no desire to be served, just so you know. I enjoy serving. Preacher, you got too many things. I don't want to bother you. Come by, let me help you. You're giving me strength. Number three, I've got to hurry. Bible says bearing burdens brings joy. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. We won't take time to turn there. Bible says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. Ah, he said, then I'll give you strength. But you have to take the yoke on you. God doesn't say, come bring your burden to the Lord, set it down and say, there you go, take care of it for me, God, and walk away from it. He said, you come, bring it to me, and then come here. I need another ox. He says, you come, bring your burden, and then I'll jump in the burden with you, and I'll pull with you. Did you know two can pull more than one? But you got to bring it to him first. Yeah, I was pulling good by myself. Can I tell you something? God doesn't say, bring your problem to me and dump it at my feet and expect me to take care of it. He said, you come bring it to me, I'll hook up and I'll help you carry it, but I'm not pulling the whole load. That's teaching my boys how to work. Did you know there's two handles on a mower? One up here and one down there. Say why? One for little legs and one for big legs. And I'd put my little boys down there, I'd push on this one, and they would be, they weren't pushing hardly anything. But them legs started getting stronger and longer. And I'd back off a little bit, and they'd push. Then it got to the point where it was about 50-50. Then they were to the point where they could reach the other bar and push it safely, and I backed off and let them push the whole thing. Then they left home, and I got self-propelled. Now, wait a minute. You laugh. I'm not lying. You know, bearing burdens brings joy. Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2, my life's verse, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Can I tell you something? When I get to help somebody, I get to carry somebody's burden, I get energized. I counseled for about 4 hours yesterday after soul winning total. Oh, my soul, counseling can suck the life out of you. I counseled this, and then I counseled that. Then I counseled a preacher, and then I counseled somebody else. You say, preacher, did it wear you out? At every one of those, I was getting stronger. I was getting help carry burdens. Put them on there. You don't get stronger by watching somebody lift weights. You get stronger by lifting them. And I'm not talking about your fork. Okay? God is willing to pull with us. God's not a welfare God. God doesn't say, dump it in my feet and let me take care of it or let somebody else take care of it. He says, you get in the load and pull with me. God wants us to get strong, so he helps us pull the load, but he's going to make us pull the load. When we help somebody else pull their load, it makes God happy, but it also makes us stronger. Did you know, Miss Sherry, if you've got a burden and I get to help carry your burden, you're pulling it and getting stronger, I'm pulling it and getting stronger, and we both get rid of stress that way. That's what it's all about. That's how God says you bring him joy. Got your eyes off yourself, jumped in, helped somebody. Last week I asked for volunteers to help Miss Marsha move. Good night. We had 13, 14 people show up. It looked like an ant colony. It was great. We moved her out and back into another place in under 2 hours. Many hands make the work light. You say, what happened? It was a zoo crew, let me tell you. Carrying on. I mean, laughing and giggling and carrying on. I loved it. I stepped back and said, God, I know how I feel as a preacher, but how do you feel as our God right now? That's just awesome. That's amazing. When down or discouraged and weak, how about you go jump in the burden and help somebody else? I got to hurry. Number four, I am just going to have to list a couple of these. Doing God's will makes God happy. Let me turn there. Proverbs chapter 10. And honestly, you're probably not going to get there fast enough. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 29, the Bible says, "The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but the destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity." That means when you do God's will, God gives you strength. I am smack dab in the middle of the will of God for my life. My wife and I have been doing the will of God for 29 plus years. I married the lady that was the will of God for my life. By the way, that gives you strength.
Amen.
You marry the wrong one, it'll steal your strength.
That's right.
Promise you. Can I tell you something? When you do God's will, it gives you strength. By the way, part of God's will is that we go to church. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Get involved in church.
Right.
Get to church, join a church, and get in and get serving and get happy.
Yes,
I don't know how people make it without church. I'll be honest with you. Good night. If there wasn't such a thing as church, I think I'd have invented it because I need it. Thank God he thought of it before I had to, amen? But get involved. Be a part of all the church that you can. Come to all the services, not just one. Get involved in helping with Sunday school and helping with some of you men. I need more ushers. Get involved in ushering and being here and greeting and different things. Hey, there's plenty for us to do. Ladies, I can use your help. That means we ought to love each other as we should. You ready for my... twice a month rant. We're not going to have any stupid cliques in our church. We're not going to sit in the corner and talk about somebody else's problems. No, if you're going to talk about somebody, get on your knees and shut your mouth and talk to God.
Amen.
Go gossip to God. He won't listen either. All right? We ought, by the way, this isn't a church where if somebody does something wrong, we're going to pull them up here and have them confess it to the whole church. That's wicked as the devil. You can't forgive their sin anyway. Only God can.
Amen.
You just want to have something to share to somebody else that's bad and negative. Well, you're covering sin. No, I didn't cover it. God did with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't have to cover it. Bible says, ye which are spiritual, restore somebody. It doesn't say talk about how bad they were.
That's right.
Well, I know somebody in your church that's a sinner. I know every one of them's a sinner. Including the preacher, just so you know. This means we ought to obey God as we should. Did you know tithing and obedience of God and our finances brings joy to God, and in turn you get strength?
Amen.
Did you know that if you're not saved, if you'll trust Christ as your Savior, it'll make you strong? I think it's hilarious. The lost world says, well, you just need Jesus as a crutch. No, you call it a crutch because you're too weak to stand up on your own two feet. I'm doing quite fine. If you've been saved and never baptized, you ought to get baptized and obey God. It's the first act of obedience. That means you ought to read your Bible and pray. And I got to hurry. I got to get going here. Number next, Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 10. Number 5, the Bible says that not quitting gives you strength. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 10. Bible says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You ought to cut the word quit out of your vocabulary. two words I wasn't allowed to say when I was at home as a boy. Quit and can't. Amen. My dad still hates those words. You don't say them around him. You might get away with it once or twice, but don't say can't. Don't say I quit. That is just about the unpardonable sin. Did you know things that are unfinished that you quit doing bring stress? That's why you don't want to open the shed or the garage or go to the basement. You see, unfinished things create stress. And then you're too tired to do those things. Well, I can't get it all done. Don't try to do the whole thing. Just do part of it.
Amen.
Well, I can't clean the whole shed in one day. Okay, say I'm going to clean from here to here. And I'll get that done. And then at a later time, do the next section. And then do the next section. Quit trying to look at the whole thing, but get it finished. When you give up, hey ladies, what's sitting undone in your sewing room driving you crazy? Or undone in something else that you're doing? Undone things or unfinished things, not just the stuff you see, the stuff you don't see. That closet that if you open it up, you risk your life for. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, everybody's got one of those. Or that drawer that you got to pull it open and stick your hand in and shove everything down to get it the rest of the way open. Yeah. Now we went from preaching to meddling, didn't we? Quit adding projects. Finish what you have. Some of you are good starters, but you don't finish anything. Why don't you quit adding projects to the list and finish everything you got? And I'll show you how to live a little less stressful. By the way, don't quit spiritually. Well, I read my Bible and I didn't get anything out of it. Keep reading it. Well, I didn't quite understand it. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. Keep coming to church. Keep listening to the preaching. Eventually, it'll click. It's kind of like the kid that dad asked him to take the basket down to the river and get a basket of water and bring it home. Well, a basket doesn't hold water real well. He ran down to the river and filled that basket full of water, ran back to the house, and he got a couple dribbles out into the bucket. He ran back down to the river and filled it back up and said, I got to run faster. He ran as fast as he could and got just a few more dribbles. And about three or four trips of that, he was about ready to have it. Got back up and said, Dad, this is impossible. This is worthless. He said, no, sir. He said, at least you got a cleaner basket. You may not understand everything about the Bible, but at least you'll have a cleaner basket.
Amen.
Just hang in there. It'll work. And lastly, I got to finish the Bible. Reading and knowing God's word will give you strength. Psalm 119, you need not turn there. I'll read it to you. Verse number 28. Psalm 119, verse number 28, the Bible says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Did you know that the word of God will give you strength? Folks, the Bible was written by God, not man. These are God's words. He spoke it to man. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, write these words. God gave it word by word, not just in the originals. If God said man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There has to be an every word Bible somewhere, or God's a liar. And if God's a liar, we're all going to hell. King James Bible is the word of God for the English-speaking people.
Amen.
It is as perfect as it was the day God spoke it.
Amen.
It was settled in heaven before the world was created. And he gave it to us word by word as we need. May I say something to you? When you're down, run to the Bible.
Amen.
When you're weak, run to the Bible. When you're heavy-hearted, run to the Bible. You say, well, I don't know where to turn. Call me, I'll tell you. If you're tired and discouraged, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, they'll pick you up, I promise you. Run to the Psalms. If you're mad and angry, I can show you where to turn. If you're grieving, I can show you where to go. Can I tell you something? We need to learn that the Bible's first, not last in our life.
Amen.
Oh, so much I want to say here. Read the Bible. Memorize it. Memorize some scriptures. Well, I'm too old. I don't get it. You got a lot of things up in your head that you've memorized over the years. You can memorize the Bible. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Say, well, preacher, I don't understand it. Call me and ask me a question. Come to church, ask me questions. If I don't have the answer, we'll find it together. But learn it. By the way, King James Bible is a stress reducer and a strength giver. You want to know why some of these other churches are all stressed out? That's why they got to bring their rock music in. That's why they got to bring the worldly music in. That's why they got to have their casual services. You know, the guy gets up and sits on his little stool with his Garth Brooks microphone and his little turtleneck sweater. Gag. You know, Joel Osteen, sorry. I keep thinking Holstein. You know, that kind of mentality, they're stressed. We have such a stressful world. Where you have follow the bouncing ball on the screens. Folks, what's wrong with the old black book and the old song books?
Amen.
Let's sing about what can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
What can make me whole? If that don't pick you up, I don't know what will. We don't have to dance and jive and have rock music. The Bible says the church is supposed to come out of the world, not bring the world to the church. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. It doesn't mean that you get the joy of the Lord. It means when you give God joy, He gives you strength. And when God gives you strength, it takes the stress away. Want to learn to live without stress, with strength? Do those six things. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Please be still for a moment and just give everybody a moment here. But who would say, preacher, if I die today, I am 100% sure, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, hands everywhere. Good, you can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure, but I'd like to know it someday. I won't come to you. I'll not call you by name. You say, preacher, I'm not 100% sure. I'm not sure I've ever trusted Christ. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon was something I needed today. That was for me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Hands everywhere. Virtually every hand. Thank you. You can put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we do, the piano will begin to play. When it begins to play, if you raised your hand and said, preacher, the Lord was talking to me. If you can get to the front here, you can come kneel at the front. Maybe you just like to stay seated for a moment and pray and use your chair as an altar. I realize things are a little difficult here in this room, but you come as far forward as you can.